Evil is the absence of holiness. Evil is the absence of God. Darkness is not a substance. Darkness is the absence of light. You don't turn on a lamp and darkness came. No, there's no possibility. Nobody can create darkness. You don't create darkness. You remove the light and the darkness is there. Darkness is a condition of the absence of light. Evil is a condition of the absence of God. That's what Satan chose. So, when evil existed, it started as the absence of God. Satan chose to absent God from his heart. After Satan chose, evil became personified in him. So after Satan has chosen to go against God, evil became a spiritual personification in him. Then only darkness became something like a substance to be dealt with. So you must understand chronological order. So to understand about this wolf coming down, we want to see another permission of God that took place in the judgment in the book of Numbers. This time we'll look at the book of Numbers 21. Numbers 21. And verse 6. So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. Doesn't it look very cruel of God? You got a whole cages of serpents, brought it near the tent and open it and say, go for it. All the serpents charge, yeah! Bite all the people. Doesn't it look very funny? You see, God sent the serpents. God allowed the serpents to be sent. The understanding comes when you begin to read Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 15. That's why Deuteronomy is the answer to many questions. Deuteronomy is a powerful book. It tells you the inward life. It's like the Gospel of John to the Gospel. It's like the Gospel of John to all the other Pentateuch books. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 15. Says, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness, and he made a statement of fact, in which were fiery serpents and scorpions. You know what God told them? God told them that the wilderness already had these serpents there. The serpents were already there in the wilderness. And of course, as long as God was with them, when the serpent came near the tent, the glory of God knocked it out. Pung! That's the best insecticide you ever had. The glory of God. And the scorpion. How can you protect 2 million people from snake bites and scorpion bites? The glory of God. The presence of God. See, God was the one protecting them when they didn't know. A lot of Christians, whenever they are not in an accident, they don't realize how much God has protected them. Only when they're involved in one, then they realize, hey, where's the protection? But some of us may not realize how much we have been protected because we were protected and God doesn't announce every day to us. Just before we sleep, He didn't send an angel and say, do you know about 5 times you nearly crashed? He doesn't. He doesn't tell you what He has done for you. We have to discover what He has done for us and learn how to be humble and give Him all the glory every day before we sleep. And so the serpents were already there. All over the wilderness. They could have easily beaten any one of them at any time. And so here was God. He put the brakes there. He prevented them from going in. And I tell you, those serpents will be going round and round the tent every day. looking. And God was a good one. He was a holang. Protecting all these Israelites. And those fellows keep grumbling.
God, you bring us out here to kill us.
God just say, oh, long suffering, and continue protecting them.
And they accuse God of many, many things. They got no water, they scream at God. No food, scream at God. And even got food, also scream at God. This is a bunch very hard to please. Then they have manna and they have meat in the evening. And they say, not enough, we want more meat. God say, no problem, more meat coming. You will eat meat until it come out of your ears. God has a sense of humor. So, by chapter 21 of Numbers, God has been holding back. And those guys didn't know that the serpents are out there. Because they had never been bitten. Only God and the angels knew how many serpents were circulating around. Until God's long-suffering came to an end. I mean, God couldn't take that unholiness anymore. And then Satan was outside possibly demanding. Now, this is the time we now have a right to get in. And God is a God of law and order. He obeys His own laws which He made. So finally, in chapter 21, when they reached a certain stage of grumbling, God just took off the covering. Shoo. Suddenly this serpent saw these people. They gave a sign, a charge! For the first time, the people saw what was outside. They said, hey, look at all the serpents coming. Where did they come from? They were out there all along. And of course, they put, he sent the serpent. He didn't send, he was preventing them from attacking you. And you didn't know it. That's what we mean by understanding God's permissive will, that all he did was permit. So we must understand that otherwise your picture of Father God is different. Your picture of Father God is a old man with a white beard having a big stick. Everything time you do wrong, bang, hit you on the head, send you some sickness. You know? And you didn't read the Bible for about 10 years, so he comes and says, here's a cancer for you. This is not our Papa God. I don't know what Papa you're talking about. But my Father is not like that. My Father God is not like that. He's a good God. And so He's protecting us all the time. And by permissive will, we're talking about people missing the timing and their motivation. And God has to lift up the brakes momentarily. His anger lasts only a short time. His mercy endures forever. But for a moment, he cannot tahan. I mean, they are stepping all over his fingers. His toes, his back, everything that he's doing. So God just took a break. In that sense, right? Please, don't think of this theologically. I know God neither slumber nor sleep, right? But that's the only way I could visualize what takes place. Or his angels, right? God may be up there commanding his angels. So his angels protecting. So his angels, you know, just go off. And for a moment, God said, I can't stand it for a moment. And he goes off. And all this evil happened. The brakes are lifted and evil suddenly increased. And the turn of circumstances. And people look at it and they think that is the judgment of God. You haven't seen the real judgment of God yet. That is just ordinary reaping and sowing in a wrong way. You haven't seen the judgment of God. And don't ask to see it. So horrifying. When the judgment of God comes, that's even worse. So that's number one, the sin of presumption. After he said, don't go. They said, after God said, you will die in the wilderness. You will not go. In the book of Numbers, chapter 13. Numbers 13. We have all these people saying, we are not able, in verse 31. And in chapter 14, all the people were rejected. And in verse 26, 27, God pronounced His judgment. He says, you will not go in, since you don't want to go in. You will die in the wilderness. When they heard God's sentence, in verse 39 and 40, Moses told these words to all the children of Israel, and the people moaned greatly. Ayo, ayo, ayo. And they regretted their actions and their words. And then some of them said, we will now do what God wants us to do in the first place. And in verse 40, they rose early in the morning and they took all their weapons and said, we are ready to fight. And Moses said, God is not going to go with you now. That is presumption. See, they are not flowing with God's detailed commands in their motivation. Their motives were wrong. And their timing was wrong. Because God's already declared the judgment. If they had wanted anything, they should not be going out. They should get on their knees before God. Under God, like Moses has done several times, under God says, I accept your repentance. They didn't even ask God to accept, wait for God to accept the repentance. They just automatically say, oh Lord, no, thank you, and they just go off. And they had the worst beating they ever had. Lord, them died. That's presumption. Presumption is doing something God never tells us to do. Presumption is doing something that is not God's time to do. Presumption is doing something that God says He's not going to do now. Presumption is moving into something because we think God is inside, but God is not. And that is why, although I realize in these regular meetings, I would minister differently if I were to see you folks once a year. Then I'll minister differently because I have to impart more. Not only teaching, but anointing. But if I see you every week, although you don't feel it, there is a measure of anointing imparted from the inside out. All you have to do is to stay true, you'll be a different person by the end of it. But the approach is different. And I had to learn to refrain from always wanting to operate the gifts. I would love to. Who wouldn't love to? And it will continue and continue. But then, we have to flow with the Spirit. Presumption is when, you see, I am very strict. If the Lord tells me, do this, and you do that. If the Lord tells me not to do it, then I won't do it. But we are minister at all times to people. But when the Lord says strictly, alright, you are to minister this way, during this meeting, that doesn't mean in this series we may not minister by the anointing and all those things. We will as the Spirit allows and permits. But we are to flow in the Rhema and the Logos of God, the voice of God's instruction, and not on our own presumption. See, presumption is doing the right thing without God's command. Do you know they were doing something right? They went out to fight against the Canaanites. They were not going out to commit adultery. They were going out to fight. And it was the right thing that God originally wanted them to do. But now it has been transposed in different time that God said, no, you cannot do it now. See, when Kenneth Hagin in his biography, I believe in Vision, said that Jesus appeared to him in a hospital bed after he fell off the pulpit. For a preacher, that is disastrous. And Jesus visited in a hospital and said, you have been living in a permissive view for 2 years. If that didn't happen, you would have died early. And if you examine what he did, he was not committing adultery. That would be not God's will, not permissive will. He was not going out murdering anyone, stealing, or anything. all he did, God called him to be a prophet, teacher. All he did was be teacher, prophet, finished.